Welcome to the Western Bowhunter Podcast with your host, South Cox of Stalker State Bows.
Welcome back to the Western Bowhunter Podcast. This is South Cox, and I'm happy today to get on the phone for our second try at this one, Jade Helmick from the Full Draw Film Tour. How you doing, Jade?
Doing great. Right in the midst of the tour here, but things are doing good.
Right on. Well, I had some technical glitches on my end on the recording the last time we tried this, so I'm sorry to have to drag you through this for a second time, but actually, timing-wise, this might even be better because the film tour's just kicked off. The draw results are coming out. Guys are fired up, and I'm sure there's going to be more than a few people heading out in the field that are thinking about doing a submission for 2018. So I'm excited to cover that. But I got on the website there to look at locations, and you guys have blown up as far as how many stops you're making, huh?
Yeah, we really did for some expansion this year. Added some new spots kind of intermixed in our normal Western areas, but the big push was to the Midwest and East Coast. Still would like to do more out there, but got to start somewhere. So we're going to get there this year for sure.
Yeah, for sure. So the tour the dates on the website there, the ones that you've already hit have been deleted so that you're only looking at available dates. So tell me what you hit so far, and then I'll go ahead and read down the list once you get caught up to present and give the listeners an idea of where your stops are going to be.
Okay. Yeah. We kicked off in Spokane, Washington, had a great show there. The following night, we hit Sandpoint, Idaho, and then back home where I'm at in Lewiston, Idaho for the first week of shows. Then we hit up the next week, Salt Lake City, Utah. It was a great show. We like to see the crowd down there, and it's growing more and more every year. And then the Friday night after that was Boise, Idaho, and Boise's a great show. It's like 650 people turn out for that show, and it's pretty cool. Nice venue in downtown Boise at the Egyptian, so it's a good one. And that was the first couple. Where I'm on the next run right now. We're actually sitting in a hotel in Tucson, Arizona. We had a show here last night, and we're going to be in Phoenix tonight. So
nice.
This probably won't air, but for people to make it to the Phoenix show, but there'll be a couple in the next few weeks for sure.
Yeah, so I'll work on getting this up as quickly as I can. I'll actually skip over the next episode I was thinking about doing, but just for the essence of time there, I think it's relevant to get it up. So tonight, May 31st, is Phoenix, Arizona. Tomorrow, June 1st, Flagstaff, Arizona. June 2nd, Albuquerque, New Mexico. June 6th, Los Angeles. June 8th is Fresno. June 9th is Sacramento. June 13th, Medford, Oregon. June 14th, Roseburg, Oregon. June 15th, Springfield, Oregon. June 16th, Springfield, Oregon, day two. So you're doing back-to-back shows there?
Yeah, we've got a fun event going on at the Wayne Endicott from the Bow Rack. Uh-huh. And his wife, Lisa, are putting on a show at their – they kind of have an event center at their farm, Endicott Farms. It's going to be a real cool event at Springfield. First night on Friday night, Cam Haynes is actually going to be there, and the Born and Raised crew, and Jason Phelps is also going to do an elk calling seminar.
Oh, right on.
And then on the Saturday after, it'll just be Jason Phelps and Full Draw, but they're still doing archery shoots before the show both days. So
cool.
Tickets are limited there, so make sure everybody gets them before we sell out.
Right on. Yeah, I'm sure that those will sell out too. By the sounds of it there, I know there's a solid base there in Springfield. So if you're listening, you live in that area, get online and get your tickets. So then, so you've got a show in the afternoon there in Springfield, and then on the 16th, and then one at night at Portland the same day.
Well, they're both actually be kind of dueling shows. The the show in Springfield will still kind of start our normal time in the evening. So we're going to split up with two crews to cover that. We kind of added this second Springfield after we already had the Portland date solidified.
Gotcha.
But
all right.
Yeah.
So then June 21st, Mount Vernon, Washington. June 22nd, Renton, Washington. June 23rd, San Antonio, Texas. And that's a Backcountry Hunters and Anglers show. June 23rd, Longview, Washington. June 27th, Klamath Falls, Oregon. June 28th, Bend, Oregon. June 29th, Coos Bay, Oregon. June 30th, Corvallis, Oregon. July 12th, Idaho Falls. July 13th, Missoula, Montana. July 14th, Bozeman, Montana. And then you're in my neck of the woods. July 18th is Loveland, Colorado. July 19th, Durango. July 20th, South Denver. And I tell you, if you are in the Denver area, so this is at the Linegar building, that is a phenomenal location to watch this. The audio is just amazing in that building. The screen is gigantic. It is such a cool venue to watch.
Yeah. That's, I think, the biggest screen on the tour, at least that I've been to. There, some of the new ones this year could compete with it, but it's right in front of you too.
Yeah. Yeah. And I can't stress enough how amazing the audio was there, you know, compared to other, you know, other venues that I've seen it at. I mean, you could pick up the smallest sound and it really made you feel like you were immersed in the film. And it was just such an enhanced experience there.
Yeah. It really brings out the filmmakers, what they put together, I like natural sounds when you can hear like leaves rustling and birds chirping in the background. It feels like you have to turn around to look at it.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, I'm gonna definitely hit the Loveland. I won't make it to Durango, but I will hit South Denver. July 21st is Aledo, Texas, and then July 21st is Denver, Colorado at No Limits Archery. So you've got a cluster of shows there in Colorado.
Yeah, well, we kind of had our normal Loveland and the South Denver shows scheduled. And then I got quite a bit of feedback to get to the western side of the state. So we added the Durango. There's a good group down there working with like the SCI Four Corners chapter to put that one on.
Right on.
And then Denver's just such a big area. We figured two shows could work there. So I worked with Phil Mendoza from No Limits Archery. It's actually the same weekend they have the Alpha Bow Hunting Challenge. So the contestants will be able to compete during the day. And then he has a gigantic shop. Have you made it down there yet, South?
You know, I haven't. I almost went yesterday. I had a couple hours to kill yesterday, but I didn't make it over there.
Gotcha. Well, it's a great facility and a huge indoor range. So we're going to set up the show, have screen and everything indoors there. And if all the competitors from the Alpha Bow Hunting Challenge can come to the show, I think actually Phil's paying their way into the show. So competitors for that can just come to the show. And then it's also open for the public as well.
Cool. Yeah, I'll probably try to make it down there for that show as well. I've been talking to Phil about, and I don't remember the dates, and maybe it coincided with this. I don't remember, but doing some Q&A at some event that he's got, and it may have been this. I just don't remember. I got to figure out the details on that. And
yeah, it might be.
Yeah, but I plan on, that would be three shows that I'd be hitting there between South Denver, and then Loveland. But,
I might have to hire you.
Right on. Well, I love supporting the show and seeing the films, and it gives me a lot of inspiration. So, for sure, I plan on being there. So then, July 25th, Casper, Wyoming. July 26th, Billing, Montana. July 27th, I was at Belfield, North Dakota. July 28th, Fargo, North Dakota. August 1st, Madison, Wisconsin. August 2nd, Richland, Washington. August 2nd is Iowa City, Iowa. August 3rd, Grand Rapids, Michigan. August 3rd is La Grande, Oregon. August 7th, Indianapolis, Indiana. August 9th, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. August 11th is a Backcountry Hunters and Anglers hosted in Austin, Texas. August 15th, Lakeland, Florida. August 22nd, Conway, Arizona. August 23rd, Springfield, Missouri. September 20th is Columbus, Ohio, Sportsman's Alliance. Wow. That's how many shows is that?
We're hosting just at like a little over 50, and then with the Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, they'll host close to another 10 probably. So we're going to be up over 60 shows nationally, which is awesome.
Man, yeah, I'll say.
I'll throw in a couple that are still pending venue solidification and all that. There'll be probably a Minneapolis, St. Paul area show in the end of July there.
Okay.
Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, also in the August 1st range. Asheville, North Carolina, kind of looking at the 10th of August. And then it's Conway, Arkansas is where the August 22nd show was.
Right on. Good deal.
Oh, I think there's a Nashville, Tennessee, and we're going to be on August 18th on that one as well. So,
man, just packing, continuing to pack them in there.
Yeah, hopefully there's time to go hunting. And
no kidding. Yeah, you have got to be already tired, you know, with what you've done, and then looking ahead at the long road ahead of you. That's a lot of driving.
Yeah, it is. It's actually. This drive down to Tucson was, felt like we were on the road 3 days, and I guess we were, but not full days. But it's life on the road can be tiring. It's fun doing the shows, and they kind of run themselves, but late nights and not the healthiest diet can wear on a guy.
Oh, but yeah, no question. Yeah, you got to kind of map out those whole food stores so you can go in there and get some decent chow there.
Yeah, exactly.
Hit their deli section.
Yeah, we try to be as healthy as possible, but sometimes a gut bomb just still happens.
Yep, no question. So tell me about the tour this year as far as filmmakers and kind of the content, and maybe kind of give us an overview so we know what we can expect.
Yeah, it's a great lineup this year. We selected 10 films, kind of narrowed it down. I think we had 40-something submissions. And it's tough to pick the top films. I would love to have like a big festival someday that we could show all submissions or something. It'd be kind of fun.
Right.
But we narrowed it down. There's a panel that selects, they vote on it, and we narrowed it down to 10 films. The listeners can go check out all the teasers for every film and the overall trailer for the film tour on our website or social media. But in this year's lineup, we have some new filmmakers and some seasoned veterans to the film tour. One of the veterans is Top Priority Outdoors out of Boise, Idaho. And then Outback Outdoors, a veteran also right there from your neck of the woods and,
yep,
Fort Collins, yep. Denver. Yeah, those guys actually kind of helped me get started in the industry as filming for the TV show and editing shows a couple years back. So it's fun to see them in the tour.
Yep,
their film's kind of a sequel off of last year's. It's a great show. Obsessed Outdoors, some filmmakers out of Montana have an elk hunting film in the tour this year. They're new to the tour. Another new filmmaker is to the tour, but everyone should have heard of Christy Titus.
Oh yeah.
She's been in the industry a while on involved with Elk Foundation and Cabela's. She has a white-tailed deer film in the tour.
Yep. She writes for Western Hunter magazine as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then, another veterans to the tour, they actually took a couple year hiatus, but Pure Elevation crew out of Boise.
Excellent. All right, is it a deer or a elk film for them?
This is an elk film.
Okay.
Kind of follows Tyler Crockett's elk season last year. It's a It's a fun one.
Right on.
And then some newcomers to the tour is Twisted River. They're out of the upper Midwest. It's a, you'll enjoy this. It's a longbow film that they put together.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
All right.
Another veteran of the tour is Jason Matzinger. He has a cool film and worked with Sam Soholt on. There's a pretty cool message that they share that we all need to be thinking about. So I won't spoil the beans, but everyone will enjoy that film. And Willie Schmidt of Pure Hunting. He's new to the tour, but if you were in the watch outdoor television, he has a show on Sportsman Channel. And some new, they're actually relatively new filmmakers, Antler Athlete out of Iowa. It's a fun story. They kind of share how it is from being in the Midwest and hunting whitetails, and their film is based about coming out west.
All right.
And then the final film in the lineup is from a group in Oregon, Crowfly Creative. And they, it's actually a film out of New Zealand. So we kind of cover all the bases of species and the globe. So
holy cow, I guess
we're excited about the lineup, and it's been well received this year. Everyone's saying good things about it.
Nice. That's awesome. So yeah, boy, a New Zealand one. So what are they hunting down there in New Zealand?
It's actually fallow deer, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah. I think went on a hunt for some other species as well, but the story is based around the fallow deer, and won't give out too many secrets of the film, but it's some people will really connect and emotionally to that one.
Uh-huh. So this year, does it kind of trend more towards deer or elk in this series?
Yeah, some years kind of go that way. Like I think last year we would kind of call it the mule deer tour. Several deer films last year, and this year it's leaning towards elk. Six of the 10 films are elk films.
Okay. All right. Well, that'd make a lot of the elk hunters happy.
Yeah. They were kind of only had two, I think, last year, and like 6 or 8 mule deer hunts. And so, yeah, it's fun. Elk films are always exciting. You know, they're vocal and big animals. Like, I like how Joe Rogan puts it, as it looks like something out of the Lord of the Rings screaming at you.
Right. No doubt. Yeah, I've got 3 hunts this fall. I didn't put a submission in for this year, but this fall I'm going to be hitting it hard. And I've got a mule deer hunt in Nevada with Larry Jones, which, it, you know, if we can pull something together and punch a tag, we'll have a really neat storyline there, because I was inspired to hunt mule deer by Larry Jones's video. What was it, 31 years ago? And I went into my local archery shop and saw his new VHS that had just come out, and, you know, watched it on TV there in the archery shop, and it got me all fired up to hunt mule deer, which then became a lifelong obsession for me. And so he's now in his, I think he's getting past the mid 70s now. And he had a decent stack of points for mule deer in Nevada, and offered to split points with me if I'd take him up there. And so it's a pretty neat opportunity for me to, you know, be able to spend some time up there on the mountain with him, and somebody who inspired me to, you know, get into mule deer and kind of lit that flame of passion for me.
For sure. There's definitely a story in there somewhere for the tour. It's just cool. He's still in the, getting out in the mountains at that age, and yeah, let alone being a inspiration to you, and a very familiar name for a lot of people in the outdoors.
No question. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm excited. Hopefully, you know, we'll be able to get a tag filled on that hunt and get a good film out of that one. Zach Henderson's going to be filming for me on that one. He's done a spectacular job for me up there in Nevada in the past. So
yeah, he was mentioning he might be heading there with you guys. So that'll be a good trip. And you might know a thing or two about those mountains, huh?
Yeah. I've laid a lot of foot tracks up there over the last 20 odd years. So It's like a second home for me up there, and I didn't draw last year, man, and I was super bummed. But I was able, with the benefit of Larry's 6 points, I was able to, or we were able to pull a tag. So a couple tags.
Perfect.
Yep. And then I've got a deer tag here in Colorado again. And then I cashed in my points for elk. So I've got a good, really good elk unit that I'll be hunting. So, I'm super excited for this fall, and man, it can't get here fast enough.
Yeah. That'd be exciting to see, hear how your elk hunt plays out. I've kind of listened, in the past podcasts, and you mentioning about some sidetrack elk hunts on your deer hunts, and it'll be fun to hear a dedicated elk hunt story.
Yeah, I won't have a deer tag in my pocket at that
point. At least nothing to sidetrack you.
Yeah, at least it won't be in the same unit anyway. So, yes, indeed. Yes, yeah, so I'm pretty stoked about that. And speaking of, I mean, the draws are out now. Guys like, like myself are getting inspired for this coming year. And why don't you maybe talk a little bit about, for guys that haven't seen the tour before, maybe let's talk about what they might want to be doing. I mean, they can get on the website and order DVD copies of past, previous year films. And so that's probably, really the best thing to do. For the guys that don't, or for the sake of the conversation at this moment, why don't you talk a little bit about, what you're looking for in a submission that, so guys kind of know what to do as they're getting ready to start filming this year.
Yeah, for sure. And there's lots of sources of motivation and things to look for. But like you said, the DVDs are available on our website for sale, and also you can stream. I think the seasons 4 through 7 are available on demand. They can just go ahead, either rent them or purchase them. You can find that on the website as well. And then any YouTube, there's some great filmmakers out there now. Just whatever. And people, if you like a style that someone's doing, you can kind of try to learn of what they're doing and replicate it somewhat, but then you'll develop your own style from that. I got started. You see shows or filmmakers that you like, that what they're doing, and try to tailor yourself and what you're trying to do to what they're doing. But you can also just come up with your own style and be a creative person. But we look for action-packed films are great. Storylines that the viewers can relate to are great as well. Some films have more of an, I'd say, emotional storyline, where there's even can be tears shed at the show. But there's also humor. Outback Outdoors, they do great job with the humor side. There's always a laugh at the show, especially this year. And then, of course, having good film cinematography helps, but it's not super crucial. Last year's film ended up being the viewer's choice, I would have said, and he probably would agree, was probably one of the lower, if not the lowest, production quality film. But the quality of camera work and editing really didn't matter. It was just what story was told, and that's the point that I keep driving home to. When people ask me the same question about how to get in the film tour, how do I break into the filming industry? Everyone's first question is like, what camera do I need? It's like, well, you can film with hundreds of cameras at this point that will be suitable footage for the film tour. But the storyline is what really needs to be emphasized. And it can be, like I said, emotional, humorous, just awesome hunting action. But we like to see interactions of the people that you're telling the story about, the wildlife, and then the scenery. It's some great footage out there being shared. Just watch. If you can't make it to a show, find some films online and start learning from there.
Yeah, there's there's a lot of great filmmakers on YouTube that you could use for inspiration, you know, and ideas, or just kind of, I mean, really the, it's easy to get out there and just focus on you know, the kill shot, and then think you have a film because you have, you know, a kill shot. But really it's the support footage that's so important. It can make the difference between telling a good story and really just having just that, just a kill shot. And those, you know, kill shot reels have kind of gone their way years ago, I think, in popular, you know, popular outdoor filmmaking. And now it's the storyline is so much more important. And I mean, it was really all along. It's just, I think the focus of filmmaking now is really taken a turn for the better.
Yeah. It's, I think that their storytelling has always been a evolution of film in general. And it's definitely coming out more and more in the hunting type industry. And we like to see it. I mean, I've seen these same films over and over this year, and I still like to sit down and watch them, and I pick up stuff that I haven't noticed, you know. And it's hard that we have still several months till hunting season, but I'm getting stoked for it.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. I can't wait till you guys get here. It's killing me that I noticed some of your dates got a little shuffled as far as location and dates, and you've already hit some shows that were much later in the year this year, and you're killing me. It's all the way till the end of July.
Yeah.
So before I make it here. So yeah, I'm going to have a long wait and hearing a lot on social media, I'm sure, from people who've been there and enjoyed it. And, it's a fantastic experience. You know, it's a lot different. And I've said this before on previous year podcasts when we've talked about it, but it's a way different experience watching it in a theater with a bunch of other hunters than it is sitting on your couch at home and watching it. It is night and day difference.
Yeah. And it's hard to relay that message without having people just show up, but I think lots of people might see a film tour in the theater. I can just stay home and turn on the Outdoor or Sportsman channel and watch the same stuff for free, but it's really not about what they can come and watch. I mean, it is, because that's what's the meat and potatoes of Full Draw, is the films, but we like to put it, is more of an event. You're not just going to like the movies. You're going to an event with a bunch of like-minded outdoorsmen. And there's usually some vendors, like backcountry hunters and anglers are there, and other conservation groups. And so we really like to emphasize it's a big event, and we give a ton of gear away. We have awesome national partners. We give away a Hoyt bow, two Hoyt bows at every show, one to an adult and one to a child. And we have Vortex optics and a bunch of First Light gear. It's a really fun, yeah, you've been south, you know, yeah. And it's a fun event, and we like the crowd to be cheering and crying and right. all everything that the films bring out.
So. Fully engaged. Yeah. So what, which organization is the tour supporting this year?
Yeah, we've worked with a couple nonprofits in the past. This year we're doing fundraising for Hunt of a Lifetime. And in the past we've worked with Wishes for Warriors. And I would still recommend people, if you want to help out veterans, to visit wishesforwarriors.org, and you can support them. This year we chose Hunt of a Lifetime. They kind of like Make-A-Wish Foundation, where they take children with life-threatening illnesses out for the Hunt of a Lifetime, ultimately. And South, you're a big part of that this year. We had you make a custom recurve to help raise funds.
Yeah.
Really appreciate that.
Yeah. So that's, it's pretty exciting. And for guys that, you know, go to the show and buy tickets, they'll be in the chance for the running on that bow. And then if they are fortunate enough to win it and the draw weight or, you know, overall bow length isn't to their likings or specifications. I'll build a different set of limbs to switch out, and so they can, you know, really customize it to their personal needs. They're not going to be stuck with a bow that, you know, is either too heavy for them to draw or not heavy enough.
Yeah, no, it's a beautiful bow. It's hard every day that we have a show to just set it up and not start flinging some arrows and try to break it in for someone.
Right. Put some mojo on there, huh?
Yeah, hopefully good.
Right.
Yeah. On. The other part of that fundraiser is at every show, someone will win a Benchmade Altitude knife. And if anyone's familiar with the Born and Raised series, Land of the Free last year, they were showing off the new Benchmade Altitudes as well. So this year, Benchmade helped us out, and we are giving one of those away at every show. That's laser engraved with a Hunt of a Lifetime logo as well.
So for guys that are, you know, are gear junkies, which most of us are in the hunting industry, let's face it, and you're maybe wanting to jump into the filming end of it, who have not bought, you know, film or don't own their own camera gear, you know, at present, let's just kind of briefly touch on maybe what some of the filmmakers are using now as far as DSLR versus video camera, and then talk about importance of external mics and you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, definitely. It's and like I said before, there's lots of cameras that will work great, and as long as you know how to use it, you can make a good film. And that's, I would emphasize that just knowing what your camera can do and to be able to run it on manual or know what it can do on manual or other settings to expose right and to get your audio right. But I've used lots of Canons in the past, and still am actually, but they kind of have different levels. You can also, and that's a Canon DSLR, I should say. I like to use a DSLR, especially on like backcountry type stuff. Is can take, obviously it's a camera built for taking photos, so you can get great quality photos, and then at the same time you can get amazing video. So the DSLR is where I would lean, just to have kind of an all-in-one package. You can do time lapses, slow motion in some of the cameras, and take good still photos as well. Like I said, so I started filming with Canon.
So let me interrupt here real quick. So what is your lens, you know, on that Canon, what DSLR, what is your lens focal length choices there? If you just are going to pack, let's say, two lenses back there, or how many lenses would you pack? And then let's restrict it and say you're only going to pack two. What would you bring?
Yeah, so it depends, of course, a little on what camera you have. If it's and this is something that the sensor, if it's a crop sensor camera, it'll have more telephoto on the same lens versus a full frame camera.
Right.
And people can learn more about that online and whatnot. But I like to film with full frame just for the photo, and it makes great video. They do end up being the higher end price wise for the camera, but I like to film with a wide angle lens, like a 24 millimeter lens, so you can get great scenics and up close wide angle stuff. And it also, I carry a prime 24 millimeter lens. I might switch, as I'm saying this, I'm thinking about what I might be purchasing this year to switch it up and lighten my gear. But then I'll also carry a telephoto, like 50 to whatever. I have a 50 to 500, but that thing's a big anchor to carry around. So I would lean towards more, an all-in-one lens is really what I'm looking at, a 24 to like 105 telephoto. You don't really need to get that super far reaching, especially if you have if you're like, for instance, on a mule deer hunt, like what you guys do south, I would just carry like the 24 to 105, and then you already will have a spotting scope that you can digiscope out of to get long
right,
across the canyon type footage. So that's kind of what I'm leaning towards, is getting an all-in-one to help lighten the, for especially for backcountry type stuff, just lighten the load and cover your close-up footage, and you can have a little bit of reach. And lots of the cameras kind of have a digital zoom that you can do as well.
Right.
And if it's in shot in 4K, you can suck it in again to 1080.
Yep. Yeah, no, it makes all those kind of tricks there really, really help, and will kind of give you more bang for your buck out of your lens there if you kind of know what to do, how to set your camera up before you head out there in the field. And like you pointed out, I mean, just about any camera on the market now is going to do the job, whether it be a video camera or a DSLR, from a quality of picture standpoint. I mean, think about, you know, what we had 5 or 10 years ago, and the low end model now is going to be, you know, every bit as nice as the upper end models that were available 5 years ago.
Yeah, for sure. It's hard to keep up with. It's like once I pick out a camera, I want to purchase another company comes out with one, and it's like, oh, now I have to spend $3,000.
Right. Yeah, I just bought a Sony A6500 body. Back in, what was it, March, or February? I think it was February, and then they came out with the A7 R3. And I haven't even been able to bring myself to look at the specs to see how badly I tripped over myself on that one.
Yeah, both of those are camera. Actually, I have my eyes on that A7 R3 just for the – I mean, the thing is 42-megapixel sensor, and so it takes – it's built for photos first, but then that one can shoot full – I think 4K at 120 frames per second as well, so you can get slow motion. It might not be 4K at 120, probably just 1080, but that 6500 is a great little camera too. That's what I think Born and Raised had when they were filming.
Right.
I filmed in Wyoming with those guys on the project last year and got a run. I actually rented the Sony A7S II, which is a great camera for film, but doesn't do as quite as good as for photos, but for the price, the 6500 or the 6300 does a lot. Great, it'd be a great camera for maybe a little above entry level, but if you want to spend $1,500, you could get a kit with a camera and a good telephoto lens. And right. Similar with like the Canon, like 70D, I think now is a good crop sensor camera to break into learning how to run the camera and take good photos and video.
Yeah. I've got a 70D that I've been using the last couple of years and use that primarily with my digiscoping, and it works really well with that.
Yeah, for sure.
So let's talk.
Yeah. Jump into some audio stuff.
Yeah, exactly. That's right where I was going.
Yeah. And I would emphasize audio. If you really want to set your film apart, you need to get good quality audio. And like you said, at that venue in Denver, audio sounds so amazing, and you want your film, you want to have good audio. You don't want to have popping and stuff. So there's some good microphones, and I personally have like a Rode VideoMic Pro, just mounts to your camera and plugs in with a little headphone jack, and there's a few settings that you can play with on the mic itself and within the camera, but those get good audio for the films. But then I would also really highly recommend using lavalier mic of some type. And that's, for those who don't know, those are what you can clip to your shirt and be right for anything the hunter would say or whisper, it would pick up more audio. And you can either get, I think Rode makes a small, just standalone audio recorder. You basically just put the thing in your pocket and have the mic, and it'll record audio whenever it's on. The downside is that you would have to, during editing, you would have to sync the audio to the cameras footage, but that it's some people don't like to do it, but it's not too tedious.
Yeah, it's kind of one more step, but then it's also, you know, kind of a backup too, that in that you're having your audio being recorded on a separate device. So if you do have, you know, a problem with maybe some noise from your shotgun mic or something, or, you know, then you have a whole separate audio source there. Mm-hmm. So that's one good thing about them. I've got a couple of Sennheisers that I think I'll be playing around with this year, the wireless mics there.
Yeah, and that's – I have the Sennheisers just because when I invested in some stuff, I was doing television work, and I got the Sennheiser kit, and it works amazing. It's definitely a little pricier than some, but I have it set up now so you can run your shotgun mic on your camera and also have another channel dedicated for your Sennheiser. And that's a cool trick, because your audio is recorded on a left and right channel in the camera, and so you can dedicate the shotgun to, like, the left channel.
Right.
And then the wireless to the right channel. And you would just have to duplicate them when you edit it. But that way you don't have to sync up the audio. It's all recorded in camera.
Right. Where have you found the best position to mount your lavalier mics on your subject there?
It's kind of just depends on what apparel they're wearing, what kind of the clothing lies up. But some people can just hook it to, like, their base layer, I guess. Others, like, however the collar folds, you can put it in there, and you can almost hide it behind a piece of clothing. That way, some of them have wind,
like little wind screens. Yeah,
wind screens on them, and that would be good. But then, if you could also get it behind a piece of clothing, it'll help. If it's windy, if not, you're fine. And I feel like they do a pretty good job of just collecting the vocal audio from the person instead of all the ambient sounds.
Yeah, one real problem that I ran into the last couple of years when we weren't using the lav mics is, you know, if the myself being the person that was in front of the camera, and you're talking, particularly if you're talking low and you turn your head like you're trying to point to something, and then bam, man, you lose audio like that, because that, you know, you're then speaking in a different direction. And so that low sound just, you know, you lose the voice entirely.
Yeah, definitely. It's something I notice all the time. And then you have to play with audio to try to boost it. And then it just doesn't get as clean. So audio is great, especially in getting good audio on an elk hunt. It's such a vocal species. And most shotgun mics do fine for, like, getting bugle audio. But yeah, there's lots of tricks out there, and people can just get online and start researching what people are using. But you can keep it simple. Some people use tripods, some use monopods. It kind of depends what you're hunting and every situation, or out of a tree with a tree arm. But
with the kind of trend going towards DSLRs, are you still seeing guys doing submissions with video cameras?
Yeah, I think even in this year's tour, there's some films that were done on just a smaller kind of maybe upper end consumer camcorder. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the higher end productions are done on camcorders, but they're like cinematography higher end. Right. I think there was some stuff even shot on Reds and stuff in the tour this year, but for the most part, I would say it was all mostly shot on DSLRs, but I don't know. It would be something I could, it might be a fun thing to do, is compile what gear each filmmaker used.
Right.
It might be a fun thing to post.
Yeah. I think that would be really fascinating. I know, talking with Cody, you know, when they did their,
Land of the Free.
Yes, thank you. I drew a blank there for a second. When they did their Land of the Free, like the second most frequent question was what camera gear were they using?
Yeah, they need to be sponsored by.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. They I'm sure they sold a lot of Sony cameras for Sony.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it was. And those cameras do great, but I know that like Canons, Nikons and the Panasonics, they're all good cameras.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that it's hard to go wrong, really. I mean, you get to where you're splitting hairs there.
Yeah, and I would just recommend people to pick up something that they can afford and learn how to use it. I mean, if you don't know what you're doing with a camera and you just push record, it's not going to turn out great.
Right, right. Yeah, you can take a $5,000 camera with a person with no knowledge and they're going to, you know, create a film that's really mediocre. And then you can take a person with a lot of experience with a Craigslist camera, you know, that was 5 years old and they're going to blow them away.
Yeah, I was going to say someone that knew what they were doing could take an iPhone and make a film that would, and I've kind of played with that idea of just doing a full film with one of the new smartphones, because their cameras are getting pretty amazing themselves.
Yeah. I've got a buddy down in Australia that he hunts with a stick bow, and he's been kind of getting into the YouTube thing. He's got a YouTube channel going, and he filmed, I want to say that he filmed at least, you know, a good portion of the hunt, with his phone, or part of it anyway. But the amazing part is he edited it on his iPhone.
Oh, cool.
I mean, I can't even wrap my head around that one.
Yeah, I know they have just that simple, I'd like to know what he used, but the simple iMovie on like the iPhone, I played with it just on short little clips, but.
Yeah, I mean, he's got great, voiceover, music, and all of it. I was just like, dude, you are just abusing yourself.
Right.
Yeah. Speaking of editing, I imagine probably most people are using Premiere as software.
Yeah, I think. For the people that are more into it and have the budget to support the software, that's what I've been using. But I know lots of people can jump on and get Final Cut. I don't know where they're at in the series. Yeah,
Final
series
Cut 10 now, or yeah, whatever.
Yeah, they have. I started on Final Cut, and they have great software. And there's even lower. I mean, you can get a Premiere Pro Elements, and it's just a scaled back version of Premiere Pro, and that's about $100 or $150.
Oh, okay.
For that software. I haven't used it personally, but I know I've used the Photoshop Elements in the past, and it does a lot for the price as well versus the full blown Photoshop. Right. So yeah, and it's kind of the same thing. Just get in the all editing software mostly does the same stuff, is simple cuts and transitions and adding audio tracks. It's kind of the standard throughout each software. So
right.
Whatever you can afford and learn to use.
So what kind of time frame are you looking at, you know, post hunting season for guys that are, let's say they have a successful hunt, they put a film together. What's the deadline on getting a submission to you?
Yeah, it's kind of right in the middle of the winter. Last year we had like a January 1 deadline. I think we'll be able to extend that at least a month to maybe the end of January. But the sooner you can get a submission in, the better. And yeah, we'll get the submissions and then get it to the review panel and be able to announce. We announced this last year at the Western Hunting Expo. So we'd like to do that again, and just if you have any questions, just shoot us an email or message on social media.
So are the members of this review panel public, so the people that are interested can start sending bribes?
Bribes or hate mail, one of the two.
Right, there you go, huh? Yeah, maybe better not to leave, to make them public.
Right.
All right. Well, good deal. Well, Jade, I appreciate your time there, and have a safe, what next? Geez, this is the 5th month here, so you have 4 months left of road tripping.
Yeah, it's kind of the busy season now till the end of August, and the nice thing about that is then we open up September to get out in the woods.
There you go. Good deal. Good deal. Well, excellent, man. Well, I appreciate your time and enjoy the show. I can't wait till you guys make it up here, and I'll be hitting probably 3 shows here in Colorado. So I'm excited.
Yeah, excited to see you south and catch up. And yeah, hope everyone out there gets a chance to find a show near them and jump online and find the schedule. And we're pretty active on Instagram and Facebook, so.
Yes, indeed. So look at fulldrawfilmtour.com to buy tickets, and then also on Instagram, and you guys on Facebook as well?
Yep, Full Draw Film Tour
Perfect.
for both of those, and yep.
Excellent. All right, Jade, thanks a bunch, man.
All right, thank you, Sal.
Catch you later.
If you've enjoyed listening to the Western Bowhunter podcast, please subscribe to the show so that you will automatically be notified when new episodes are posted up. Please take the time to give us a review on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform. This will help us in the podcast rankings and will help us grow. If you have a topic you'd like to hear about or a guest that you'd like to hear from in a future episode, email south@stalkerstickbows.com with podcast in the subject line.
Too many years have passed me by. I've gone down.